Hey, hey, everybody.
Good morning. So it's a skeleton crew here today, just you and me, man.
Just us. Best of us. Who else? We don't need any more than that.
Well, did they all get stranded in San Francisco? Is that what happened?
They were down there. A bunch of the team was crew. The whole crew was kind of down. I was holding down the fort. Just doing my own thing. Bam, man, we're just doing our things, keeping the world turning while they're having fun down in SF for GDC and the Gala Hackathon that was going on. So, it's spring break, I believe, for all the Oregon schools right now. So I think that's where why Nate's not here. Forge isn't here right now. I think him and his family are doing something. So, but we're here.
We are. And I guess there's a lot to talk about. I mean, everything that they were talking about, everyone else was talking about GDC and the hackathon. Like that was, if you were remotely connected to the Gala Discord server this past week, you got pinged a bunch of times. Can you put that up there? That's a fan favorite meme that we've.
Oh wait, I don't know why it's there.
But yeah, right there, that one. We've had that one since 2021. That was back when Mal was still a purple name. He hadn't quite jumped the fence over into being one of the employees yet. So, mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah. So like I can remember like 25, 20, 20, 20 X pings at a time. Like I was just like, I'd step away from Discord for a little bit, and all of a sudden there was just a bunch of stuff that was like, hey, look at us, you know, and hey, read this. And so I did. Actually, I looked through a lot of it, and most of it was about the hackathon. And that was great, but we don't really talk about the hackathon with the Gala Gazette. We're here to talk about the games. Now, there were some games at the hackathon, weren't there?
There were.
One in particular.
Specifically one in particular.
So NFTD, non-fungible tower defense, brainchild of our very own Timbo Slice and his longtime friend Deadly and their newfound compatriot Cryptogram. Those guys are like a brain trust. They came up with this. It's just a great idea. It's a we talked about it. He got a chance to like brief the community on it. I think last week, but they were at the hackathon to focus on the integration with Galachain. So there was a neat little presentation that they did that was actually made available to the public. We were able to watch them talk about the different things that they had done in order to incorporate Galachain into what they had already produced with the game. They talked about the Hopia currency, which is going to be on Galachain. They talked about that you can use the Hopia currency to buy the Hopia Tower, which is unique. It's the only way that you can get that is through the blockchain purchase. And then the other things that were just amazing about the game, the fact that it's offering utility to NFTs that have been more or less reckoned as dead, you know. So we're seeing some great ideas here.
It's awesome to finally see it come to fruition in terms of, you know, one of the things we've chatted about for a long time was we want to be, you know, whatever project and whatever ecosystem we're exploring, whether it's Star Atlas or whether it's Gala, you know, no matter what it is, knowing that, okay, and this is a good, I think, aspect or an attitude to have across life in general. Think, control what you can actually control, right? I have no power to determine, you know, what Gala decides to do with their games and with the NFTs that lie within those games. What we do have the power to do, though, is, well, those exist on chain. We own them. We can do things with them. Well, let's make our own game. Like, you know, we've wanted a tower defense game that we can use. I know that's one thing Forged has been huge on. He loves tower defense games.
Nice.
Been like, someone needs to make a damn tower defense game that I can bring in my assets that I already have that across different projects and play with them and actually like have some fun. And so
he and I were alive when when Atari came out with Missile Command. So we're thinking back way back to the games like that. And so
this it just calls to that idea of, you know, one of the core reasons why we set up and are doing everything we're doing with the GG Collective is to, you know, be the right hand man wherever we can be. And in this case, it's, hey, like you said, some of these assets exist with projects that, you know, we don't really know what's going to happen with them. Right now, it doesn't seem like there might not be much going on with them. So we might as well create our own utility to, you know, we're not taking any money from anyone. It's a free-to-play game. Like, you come in, and if you have them in your wallet, you can connect your wallet, and it will just read what you have and play with them. So
yeah,
it's cool to see. This is just the first baby step towards, you know, what we're trying to do. And
I keep having, when the cat's away, the mice will play, and you and I get a chance to get a little bit expository on our thoughts today, because the Quasso button is it's out of reach.
We can rant as much as we want. I don't care. I hope you're watching this, Nate.
He probably has a remote that he's going to hammer it down.
He's going to remote do it somehow.
Oh, no, so I've thought about this a bunch, and one of the major deterrents for people to use NFTs from other projects in their own game is that they get nothing from it, and all of a sudden they're supporting another project. A lot of these NFT contracts, when you go to sell them on a third party platform, there are royalties, and those royalties are all going to this other company. It's not even you know. And so I think there's been a little bit of a hesitation to do it because you need to be developing your own income to maintain the game. But I've always looked at it without incorporating an entire catalog of game NFTs, to just pick some, you know, like an exact, that's exactly what the guys did. They picked the Open Stash Box. They picked Orbs. Now Orbs is a little bit different because they're all unique. They're unique IDs, you know, so they are true NFTs as compared to the semi-fungible thing, the stackable NFTs. But the Orbs, they have the Stash Box, the Open Stash Box. They've got the Blue Realm tokens, you know, so they were picking things out of different places in the ecosystem that were really kind of really hitting a lot of the sore points, you know, things that a lot of people have a lot to say about, because there should be something going on with these items, or there was things that were promised with these items. And so it's neat to see them delivering on the promise, even though they're not the ones that made it. But they didn't have to say, okay, we're going to incorporate every last thing that's in Mirandus. You know, if you have any Mirandus NFTs, you get this. That's not what they've done. They've picked specifically what they were going to allow into the game. And I think, any person developing a Web3 game has a lot to gain by doing it that way. And it would be smart for them to pick one that hasn't already been picked by someone else, you know, because then what that'll do is that'll invite a community of people who may not otherwise have even taken a look at their game. And they'll come into the game and they'll see what is available. They'll see whether or not they're enjoying the game. And then whatever it is that you put there, as far as a income stream for yourself, maybe your income stream is just the fact that your game's getting hits and you're getting sponsorship kind of stuff. You know, who knows what that might be. But it's just a way to bring communities together to create success for whatever it is, whatever kind of application you're building. So I'm really a proponent of cross-platform or cross-game utility, because it makes sense in my mind. And like I said, if you're interested in making all the money, you're never going to want this. But if you're interested in making all the money, you're not going to get all the money.
You got to provide something to the community. Like you said, give them an incentive to come in. And not only just an incentive, but to kind of prove to them that, hey, we're trying to do the right thing by everyone. We want to do right by the community and providing what we can provide, you know? Granted, you know, like you said, with Hopia, we're going to have our own NFTs for NFTD, and we're going to have, and granted, those are going to be things you can just earn through gameplay, but this is just the basis. Like, I mean, Galad No Guide, great comment right here. Why don't people use that as a marketing strategy, right? Interoperability is the, you know, the beautiful thing about blockchain, being able to use. I don't know. I think it's.
Well, you're leveraging someone's interest in a different thing for something that you're trying to promote. They already own the asset. They're already invested if you create an avenue for them to find new utility for it. And if they don't like it, they don't like it. No harm, no foul. Eventually, like, as long as you're like being wise about the way that you're implementing that NFT, you're going to find somebody that likes it, and then they're going to tell their friends, and then it's going to be an opportunity for everybody.
And why not? I mean, like you said, I think the concept of like, oh, we need to be the ones making all the money. Like, if we would have, if that was our mindset, we wouldn't have set up the GG Collective like we set it up, right? Right. We wouldn't have gone through the process of going through the SEC and making it a security offering. That's royalty sharing and any profits we potentially generate. And I don't know, it's awesome to see that, you know, we had such great reception of it. Stop trying to make my tax losses and deductions
valuable. We'll just claim them this year, and then you can you can use them as a, what do you call it, a zero cost basis for next year. Hey,
we'll see. But
we interrupt the regular scheduled program to bring you this important message.
Oh, there he is.
We're back.
You did make it.
My ears were burning talking about NFTD over here.
The creator.
Well, since you're here, it would be probably pretty good for you to run down the winners from this contest,
We got the first official playtest winners.
Nice.
Devikin Bop over here with a massive score of 1,200. Absolute dominant force. He's over here. He was giving tips.
I watched this video. It was brilliant. He's like, this is how I do it. And he's just like flying around the screen, putting up extractors.
Dude, So we were sitting there talking about how he was doing it and how we would do it. It's actually funny making the game. I've been saying it. I've said this to before, like, players are better than the devs at games, usually because they have way more time to play. I'm the main play tester. I play it a lot to make sure like it's doesn't have bugs and it doesn't break. But then I got to keep building, right? And Devikin came in here and found all the strats.
Here's a video of him.
Absolute
playing.
Beast.
Yep.
And then shout out to Metamug and Magic Play. Y'all dominated as well. We got a big old ancient sleigh. Devikin's going to be delivering Christmas presents to people on the battlefield. So,
yeah, he is.
And Metamug with the legendary chicken. You're bad. And honestly, the Scorpion's my favorite tank. So Epic Scorpion is a great pickup as well. I love it. Like, I have a legendary Scorpion and I've been playing with for a while. So no, I think these are, I'm happy to get him into these guys' hands. They've been, OGs. Devikin's been in the MAW for a super long time. So yeah. I'm excited to send them out.
Dr. Wookie was talking about you guys and he, as he was running down the prizes, he's like, I don't know. I think the legendary chicken is a better prize than the sleigh. And you know? Even ancient to legendary, you can say what you want, but the chicken,
that's why I did it. I was like, that's kind of hard. Like the chicken's way more fun. Obviously you got more earning potential on the ancient. And some people are just beasts on the sleigh. It is hard to hit. If you're quick and you know how to move, use those omnidirectional mechanics, you can dominate. But
I'm excited. So it's a lot easier for me because I can just like kind of slow swivel. Yeah,
right. The controller is hard on some, but really good for the others. Like it's not good on the artillery stuff, but
No, not at all.
No, but for the so for NFTD, we're going to take a week off, reconvene. You know, it was pretty hectic week for us to get this all going, and honestly, I am like, we're super appreciative of everybody, of how they played. Really fucking cool people, because we did get the playtest out really quick. People could have came in and tried to cheat and hack and be all disrespectful, but I mean, we have it's a testament. Say it.
I was gonna say, you know, we had people, you know, I think it was Rostikip, wasn't he?
Came Rostikip in and essentially was like,
yeah, hey, it was Rostikip and Robin.
It kind of, you know, I was able to give myself a false score. Here's how I did it, essentially. And you know, having that, like you just said, I mean, there was actual NFTs on the line, and Rostikip didn't place in the top three, right? And so even though he could have if he wanted to, but that's just such a testament to our community.
100%. I think that's, we've been saying it the whole time, and it's an affirmation that we are doing things the right way. We've been saying like how we want to build a game with people, and then here we are, we do it, and next thing you know, everybody's literally in the trenches with us, helping us, trying to exploit our game before bad people come in and try to exploit it, so that we can find it. Like they care about it, they want to protect, right? Like we've seen that, how we've cared about these games. We want to protect Townstar or Common Ground World. We want to protect Spider Tanks. We want to protect these games because we care about them. They're our worlds as much as they are the devs. So having people come in here and really, really help us build the infrastructure of it is awesome. And I think we're gonna fucking dominate. It's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to what you guys have coming with that. It's not just the new towers or anything like that. I think there's I can see that there's a lot brewing up there.
They won
Hackathon. Graham is a reason. Right. Well, and Graham is a monster. We're lucky we found him. He is
beast.
Like the three of us really just clicked.
I really like the presence that you guys had in those presentations and interviews. Like you guys were like very comfortable just like saying what you had to say.
When we all got together, it was like the scene from Step Brothers where we're like, are we best friends? Did we just find our best? All of us, dude. We're that little kumbaya. We're like, we did it. We got a good vibe going. We're all completely aligned on what we want to do. We're just pushing. Awesome. So it's sick, man.
So this wasn't the only thing going on. I do want to ask. So it was first place in the judges' choice.
Yes.
Did that preclude you from any other earnings categories, winning contest categories, or because a lot of those, the judges' choice was only for people that were present. Correct. But the other categories, a lot were anyone globally could enter the other contests, right?
Yeah. So they announced that that's coming in the next couple weeks.
Yeah. Okay.
So
we'll see. No. We'll see what happens there. So maybe there's more excitement to come for the team.
That's what we're hoping. We're hoping we can keep it going. We'll keep building. I mean, like genuinely, just so everybody's aware, like we built this with our own love fueling it. That's it.
That's gross.
It's our baby. Okay.
So anyway.
No, but like we didn't take money from anybody. We're completely free.
I need a croissant. We're gonna be begging for them next week when Nate comes back.
Pause.
But like we so like all this all every, any of our winnings that we get is our runway to keep this going. Like we're kind of free. We get to build this with the collective and build a truly, truly community based project that's not going to get let's say meddled with by other people. You know,
yeah, something that isn't going to get well. Interestingly enough, there was an interview between Eric and David Bianchi of Razor. And now, regardless of what has happened, what we were hearing was exactly what we want to see happen everywhere, which is you no longer have to have a corporate entity interfering with the creative process, where the developers are able to come and do what they intend to do. And then if something goes wrong, you know, because inevitably in development, something has to change because things aren't working exactly the way you would hope. You don't have to get a billion people signing off forms in triplicate in order to make sure that you're allowed to take this step. You just do it, and then the job gets done. And so iteration happens instantaneously, and progress continues. That was just a key feature of that little conversation they were having. That he in making Razor was able to just like make shifts right there on set. He said he rewrote the script 7 or 8 times while they were filming. You know, like, so he wouldn't have been able to do that in a Hollywood scenario. So same thing goes for game development, man. Like whatever you're doing, it's going to benefit from not having a big brother on your shoulder or over your shoulder.
It just reminds, and I think even in like every real world aspect that comes into play, I mean, it just reminds me immediately of like Ford versus Ferrari when Matt Damon's like, I watched this folder pass through 7 pairs of hands before it got to you. Like, you need one man make calling the shots. Like, and it's just like, yeah, I mean, the more red tape you have to try and go through and interference you have to try to go through, it's harder for things to get done, which is, you know, why I think something like the GG Collective, right? It's, you know, the only real work step is essentially, hey, community, you like this or no? And they decide and it gets moved ahead or it doesn't get moved ahead. So
I think that's where, right, like
when we're way to consolidate opinion, I think, quickly. And
exactly. Like what we're doing yeah. is I think we're asking the right people, like we're asking the people playing the game what they want. And then we can implement it instantly. We don't need clearance to implement that, right? Which I think is going to be really, really powerful, especially as we expand a little bit. We're only a 3-person team right now. With the funding, who knows? Maybe we can get another artist or something as well, and see where we can go. But like, I think the way we're working, we obviously have a little bit of work to do in this beginning. We want to build a tile system to make it like that's going to be the biggest workload in this beginning part is getting that tile system in. But that once we get that tile system in, that will expand a lot. We can do that. Essentially what it will do is we'll be able to play that exact same play style we had in that one, but we'll be able to expand it. We'll be able to randomize it. We'll be able to, you know, customize it differently.
So you're saying you're not going to roll all your winnings into GG tokens. That's a shame.
There might be a little bit. That goes
Who knows?
I mean, 5% max. Remember, don't forget that.
You're right. I can't own it all. I can't take it over. I guess I'll let somebody else have some.
Well, let's talk about some of the other exploits you've been involved in. Yeah, like you apparently weren't just playing NFTD this past week. You're still playing Echoes of Empires.
Inspiring a war underneath it all.
So I want to hear your take, and then I'll kind of put my spin on it. What's going on? Because I'm in the MOF. I'm in your guild. I'm there. It's wartime. You're the captain. You're the general. But
yeah, so
admiral. This is space fight. Whatever, you know.
This has been in the works for since the beginning. It's a 4X exterminates right in there. We got to kill each other. Mm-hmm. We got to blow each other up. So this has been working. We've been fighting a guy named Randy for a very long time since the beginning. He was a part of Zeta. Zeta and Mom were working together, but they were all under Zeta for a while. And then all of a sudden, a lot of Mom players came back. They warped in on us. They sent some warning shots. We talked it out. There was a ceasefire for a little bit. We talked it out. And the ceasefire was broken by a Mom member, which prompted the war to start. It was a mistake, but it already...
Yeah, he just didn't know that there was a ceasefire in effect or something.
It happened, but we were like, everybody wants a war anyways. Let's have some fun. Let's see who's the best. Why not? We got nothing else to do.
And that's the sad truth of it, because it's been weeks since we heard anything. I saw Z's last post was about 2 weeks ago, and Z was the most active member of the dev group in the community.
So yeah, I thought we had him. We lost him for a little bit. I hope he comes back. We'll see.
Well, then you see things like this, right? I mean, in terms of like, okay, look at the, like, there's no consistency in terms of what's being generated. Like, the might as well have some fun and do something in the game if there's, you know, we
got
to do
it. Right. We got the servers up. We might as well play.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the realization, like, with the current tokenomics, all of us realize that the game will never make money if nobody's attacking, right? Yeah. Because the current tokenomics, the only way they make money is if people buy credits, and the only reason to buy credits is to buy teleports, shields, and speed up your ship building.
Yeah.
And the only reason you need those three things is for war. And so that's where we're like, we might as well all attack. It's the only way something's going to get the,
this is the most like wheel rolling ridiculous announcement of war that I've ever heard of. It was kind of like, do you guys want to go to war?
You know what it is? This is like a UFC fight.
Let's just go to war. Let's go to war. That sounds like fun.
It's a UFC fight.
There's no drama. There's no emotion. There's no hatred. It's just like kind of curious.
Okay, look, I will look.
Are we gonna have a good time with this?
This is 90% fun. There's 10%. We're gonna fuck you up. We're coming for revenge here.
Yeah.
Okay. Randy, better watch out.
You know that meter shifts. You know that 10% is gonna start growing as people start losing ships. I can guarantee that.
It's like
it already is. It's funny.
Like being in high school and being at my buddy's house, and we always had boxing gloves everywhere. Like we all had our own pair. We'd keep them, and we'd just be sitting there like watching a movie, and he'd be like, "Want to put the gloves on?" I'd be like, "Yeah, sure. Like, let's fight a little bit. Just, you know, go 5 minutes. Just be like tired, get some bruises, and just be like, why? Like, it always got too intense."
Right? Like, y'all love each other. It's all fun, but you're way you're gonna beat me.
You want to fight? Let's fight a little bit.
So the war type feeling, the aggression, definitely shifted over into Eternal Paradox over the weekend. Out of nowhere, S12, which has been the number one guild consistently since season one, launched an attack on Dub, which happens to be where the Gala Collective account finds its home, where I play. You know, so we've been allies since the beginning. In fact, originally the S12 and Dub were one guild, but it was just too many people, so we split. But some things have happened over the past couple seasons that they decided that it would be really good to sneak attack all the Dub members on a Sunday morning. And
I think we got to play this out, dude. For Gala, for all these games, we got wars going on.
I think that's one of the reasons that I'm talking about it, you know, like, because Eternal Paradox has plenty to actually talk about. You know, the Echoes of Empire is really quiet, but Eternal Paradox is constantly making improvements. They, in fact, you can see here, they put out an article that's it was a Q&A. There were some questions coming from Gala themselves, and then a lot of community sourced questions, things that they have planned coming up. They are not stopping. They just keep developing this game, making it better. We're going to see a guild arena system in season four where you can actually select other guilds to play, guild members to play against in order to earn victory points for your guild. And then they've even talked about allowing players to burn NFTs so you can get fragments and immortal emblems. The immortal emblems are the things that you use to essentially turn a non-NFT into an NFT. So instead of just having that wrapped up in an NFT you don't want, or maybe you got it out of a box and it's a character you already have duplicates of, you could burn that and use those immortal emblems to take one of your other characters that you do like better and
turn that into an NFT. I like that.
And I'm sure it's not going to be a one-to-one. I'm sure there's going to be a little bit of a decay.
There should be a burn or a decay, like you said. Like, you should lose, you know, 10% of your value, because that incentivizes you to play and get more into the ecosystem. But I mean, that's no different than, I mean, you know, I always think about just like any like first person shooter type game or whatever. It's like, if I couldn't swap my gun whenever I wanted to, you know, like if you pigeonhole yourself into one area and then the meta changes, or you want to like, people are running this type of deck and I can't do that because, or I could, but I don't want to because I don't want to sacrifice my victory point earned. I don't know. You know, you got to have that ability to swap.
Yeah. And again, you can play with those non-NFTs.
Yes.
It's just, you're not going to be earning daily prize points, exactly, which means that you're not going to be moving up the charts as far as how much e-time you can generate. So it's really a it's a direct question about earnings anytime you're dealing with the NFTs, but it would still be nice. There is a little bit of an advantage because the different tiers of rarity do get some base stat bonuses right off the bat. Like obviously best case scenario is ancient. You're going to get a 30% stat bonus as compared to like a 25 with legendary and on down. You could do really well with a max level rare character as long as you like, because they also have a promotion system that's a number of stars that your character has, which is independent from the levels. And so you can still have a really strong rare character in the arena. In fact, the Gala Collective does have one of those, and we've been doing pretty well in the arena so far. We'll see how it goes. There's a lot of whale power in this game. More, I would say at least a dozen, maybe two dozen even, that have really sunk a bunch into this game. And that's what makes this new conflict so interesting, because the whales came hitting hard and they were just warping people. Like they didn't take anything from my account. They just hit me. You know, like normally you can like collect assets, but I had been running so meager with what I was actually holding, because I was just constantly upgrading. We're in the build phase right now. And so I was spending all my resources. They couldn't get anything out of me, but they didn't care. They just wanted to prove a point. So they warped a bunch of us. And so we hit them back. And but this is all approaching the first Rings of Ruin conquest, which happens on Friday into Saturday. Sometime it depends on where you are in the world, because they're in Korea, and so it really messes with my timeline being pretty much on the opposite side of the earth.
Yeah, for real. Literally.
All right, guys, I'm gonna head out. I got a war to fight. I gotta lead the troops into it.
Development to do.
Anybody listening, y'all want to have some fun? Come on over to the ancient. Come warp in.
It's getting targeted. You will find some action.
No, come on. We're good. Hey, I am protecting it. People can come mine if they want, and then you can kamikaze your ships in there. So, all right.
See you, man.
Jimmy, good to see you, buddy.
Be safe. Adios, guys.
There's got to be a more formal way for me to address him as my admiral. I'll come up with it.
Yeah, no, we need to come up with our own.
I'll come wearing some sort of like military helmet sort of
garb.
Yeah, I'll come up with something. One of the surprising things that like I was able to pull out of chat, this isn't something that was an announcement or anything, but Willow Martin was in Meow Match and in the Meow Match Discord, and he's been tracking the statistics on Google Play for them, and they're organically growing a user base without doing anything. Like the game is pretty much exactly as it was when it first got to Gala. And okay. I mean, obviously they did some integration with NFTs and things like that, but since mid February, they've been climbing the ranks as far as most used apps. They've gone up like 3,000 places. And they're over 1,000. Apparently, I think that's a daily user count, 1,038. So over 1,000 daily users, and people just keep telling other people about it. The people are having fun with it. His comments were like, I can't believe you guys aren't doing anything with this. It's actually like picking up steam, like get it off the shelf and do something. But
I mean, even just like I see with every other mobile, it doesn't even have to be a good ad. You can put out an ad with the wrong gameplay and people will download it. Like it's the mobile advertisement of like mobile games is like, I feel like such a loot, like just put anything out and people will start seeing it. Like post it on X, you know, it will get seen. Like,
well, that was the thing that I thought might happen with noted. That was the thing that I thought might happen with Get Pluck, because the little like cinematics that they were doing were pretty fun.
I just think it was too choppy in terms of,
and that's fair too. Again, I'm not trying to make a case for the quality of the game. I'm saying I thought that they might find uh, find a home somewhere because of the fact that they're, you know, just that witty quirky introduction. Hey, take a look. Then who knows? Maybe some people are in a, they got a hunger for Frogger, and then they, and then they play. Common Ground World did their town hall on Friday morning, like they have done for since July of 2022. They're just clipping along with that. They titled this one "Doing Our Best," and I was a little bit like set back by that because it just sounded like they were about to make some excuses, but really it was just they had a lot to talk about in regards to all of the different things that they're looking at. The chain team is, they said they're the chain team is still testing the tokenization situation, and Volcron he kind of confessed to having a hand in that from the guild system side, where he said he wanted things to be moving forward slowly due to the probability of bugs. I was reading into that, maybe saying like he found some bugs and didn't like it. But maybe not. Maybe it was just one of those things that there's so much being woven together between back end and front end there that it's just likely that they're not going to nail it all on the first try. So anyway, that's kind of just like an update that they haven't told us anything new. They're still getting there. But it's not like being ignored. Anyway, they did talk about quarter two and the upcoming development that they're going to be doing on the daily challenge, the daily and then the play and earn aspect of the game. Now this I thought they would just kind of like work it into one of the game modes they already had. They're going to do a separate game mode apparently, and each day the town will reset. So you start from whatever base town they give you every day at the outset of your daily challenge. And so you have to build towards that every single day. And so that allows them a whole lot of, it creates a real play and earn situation rather than I've stashed a bunch of sugar in my storehouses.
And I'm just ready to sell it.
Yep, exactly. So
it evens the playing field a little bit more in terms of. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, there are some really powerful NFTs that allow you.
Yes, that you still be able to play and take advantage of. And
But with that in mind, they can tailor the challenges to be more even
open
for the playing field, you know, so they don't have to have it be something that you need to like get to this specific end product, or maybe they could meter it or gauge it based on the number of NFTs you do use, you know, like do this without using an NFT or do this, you know, whatever I mean.
Yeah, put some sort of restriction or as a part of a specialized game mode. Right. Like, don't make that the whole thing because people don't want to be restricted on what they can use. But say they're like, hey, one of the five challenges that we're pushing out this week or whatever is it's a strict build. These are the pool of NFTs you get to use. Who can design the best town for this independent challenge? I mean, you always could do something in terms of like, hey, this isn't. I don't know. It reminds me of like when I think about like normal games, like Balloon Tower Defense, like you could have those. Just play a game mode where it's an open map and you play however you want to play it. You use what you've unlocked or whatever, and you get to do it. Or on the flip side, they had it where it was you get to use these versions of these upgraded like monkeys or whatever in this map. You have to try and get to level 100 only using what we provide you. So like doing something in that nature, I think is feasible per se. I don't know how well it would be accepted. Like you said, like you
got to. Well, the only thing that's popping into my head right now is that we have to bear in mind that one of the major purposes of this is to get the earnings NFTs into your game so that they can actually generate the dirt token. Yep. So now in most of those cases, those NFTs could very easily have nothing to do with the product in question. You know, it's just, they just have to be in play in order for you to be able to register the points. Like, I don't know if they're going to go with town points or if they're going to, but ultimately it will translate into a certain number of dirt tokens per day. So maybe NFT restrictions would have to be like worded very specifically. But even so, like one of the things that was really good to hear is that as of right now, they're planning on allowing ETH-based NFTs to work within the planner and or the daily challenge mode, so that
you don't have to be bridged or
right off the at least for the start. That's their game plan. So hopefully they can keep it that way, or they can find some really inexpensive way to do a batch bridging kind of thing to get everybody's stuff over. Champions Arena was planning on doing their March 20th update, and that actually went off. They did have to do some. They had to bring it down for maintenance a couple times, but the actual update happened very smoothly, more or less on time, on March 20th. And I was looking through the discussion on Discord, and there was a Nexus owner who said that he had been seeing a lot more activity with his rental champions. But there were some people that were kind of pushing back against it. And I realized that largely those people are the ones that were coming as free-to-play players. They'd been able to get into the Nexus rental system and get a massively overleveled, overpowered champion, put it in with their team, that, and then that character completely carried them. You know, the other three champions on their team could have died, and it wouldn't matter because they had this overpowered rental with them. And so they were able to climb in the ranks and earn better as a result of that. These are people that didn't put anything into the ecosystem. These are people that just like started playing a game and rented the most powerful NFT, and not even rent, you know, it's a earnings share. So so many of them probably extraction minded, not necessarily, but even so, like, this is a setback for them because they can no longer get this overpowered NFT on their team because the level is restricted based on the highest level that you have on your team. Got that it. You have to bring to bear. So the star value is still directly connected to the NFT that you get. And so there's still a power upgrade when you get these guys, but level is equally as important, if not more so. And
that's an interesting comment here. I mean, I agree. I personally use hardware. Well, I mean, I've tested on the Forging Crypto blog on Medium. You can see all the articles we've done testing all the different hardware wallets. Yeah, I mean, it's a. I wish.
But, yeah, I don't know what kind of tech lift that is.
I don't really either. In terms of, I'm not. I don't know enough about, you know, the exact process in terms of how that would work with it. Would it just be like a one-time read of what was in your hardware wallet and then it didn't have to call back onto it, you know, especially if it's like an air-gapped wallet? I don't know what that process would look like. And then how would it I don't know. It'd be interesting from a gaming perspective to see, you know, how that would work. Personally, I think hardware wallets are awesome for like long-term holds, using it as like, you know, essentially your bank account, or, you know, your crypto bank account, so to speak. It's more secure than just keeping it, I think, on an exchange or on MetaMask or something, but they're definitely a little tedious to use and, you know, not super quick to act.
I see we're going a little bit longer than usual. I'm going to take this opportunity to dive a little bit on this just as an idea. Your hardware wallet, it has an ETH address, right? So you should be able to enter that ETH address into MetaMask and not let it still have something not have access. And now there's MetaMask integration into Gala itself. So if you have it in your hardware wallet, you could set up a Gala account with that via MetaMask, as long as they continue with their plan to read ETH-based NFTs.
And some of them are difficult in terms of, you know, like Ledger and Trezor, I think, are the two that have like direct integration options with MetaMask that make it super easy to do that. Mm-hmm. Some of them are a little more complex, and even the process of like potentially, I don't know, sometimes I know like with the Ngrave Zero and the Keystone Pro, the way they do it is I was trying to essentially do that, get it to where can I read, you know, just directly what's on there? And can't remember exactly what the issue was that I was getting, but I mean, you're right. I think for the most part, especially with the more popular brands, but I think the more air-gapped ones make it even a little more difficult to do something as simple as I don't think you can integrate it.
The information has to be on the chain. It doesn't matter what kind of wallet is in it.
That's true.
So if, as long as the game can get the information about ownership, they don't have to have well, I guess if there's the locking mechanism, that might that might be problematic.
It'd just be game dependent, but I think if you're
cool. So I don't know if that helped at all. It definitely gave us something to talk about. So that was Champions Arena. Mirandis got mentioned briefly on Ahead of the Game this week. Ahead of the Game focused almost exclusively on the hackathon, but there was a little blurb at the end where Anita mentioned a couple games, Mirandis being one of them, and she focused in on Manny's Wallpaper Wednesday announcement, where he talked about a number of things that they were improving. Jason also contributed in there. And one of the things that they were talking about is how difficult it is to take one piece of equipment and have it look right on 9 different types of exemplars that have both a male and female gender component to them. So later in his Friday update, Jason talked about they found a way to bundle the assets that is it's streamlining how much work is being done by the servers, and I guess on client side too. I'm not the guy to tell you what I can't translate most of what Jason says, but I think that's what he meant there. And if I didn't, I really hope he kind of educates me soon.
Gives you the lowdown.
yeah. Other things that they said that they're making progress on the loot system being where you if you're the primary damage dealer, you get first dibs on what comes out, and then it kind of opens itself up to anybody else that was in the combat, and then it opens itself up to the whole world, and then it goes away. You know, so they've made some progress on that he wanted to mention. The last thing that we should really talk about is Vox. This Project Cerberus came out in an article that they published. So they said Cerberus because it's got 3 different features, 3 different heads.
I like that.
They want you to be able to collect, to craft, and they're also working on the social aspect of it. They really see they want to maintain the social quality that they initially set out to do with Vox. Version 0 is going to focus on collecting. So version 0 seems to be an upgraded Vox Odyssey, essentially. And it's going to be on mobile. I don't know if they intend to keep all of Cerberus on mobile, but at least for the start, it's going to be a mobile game where you have frontiers. Everybody that wants to play can get a frontier. And apparently, even if you don't have a Vox, you can get what's called a proto Vox. Even Vox owners will get a proto Vox. And I don't know if there's going to be a direct comparison to what a proto Vox does versus an NFT Vox. Maybe they do the same thing. Maybe the proto Vox is a little bit more like your primary avatar. We'll have to wait and see on that. But they did say that you will be able to get all of your NFT Vox into the game collecting. If you have NFT lands, they were given out as part of the Galaverse tickets that were bought back in late 2021. And they also had some as prizes. And I don't remember if they had an actual land sale. I don't think they did. I think it was just something that came out in like a mystery box as well.
Yeah.
But or a reward for some other promotion. Anyway, those lands, if you have them in your wallet, you'll be able to have more than just one frontier, up to a total of 5. So if you've got a lot of Vox and you don't have any lands, you'll still have that one land. But if you have a bunch of lands, you'll be able to distribute them out across up to five frontiers, and you'll be able to collect resources. They have said that you're going to be able to, the levels from your Vox Odyssey work will translate in, and you will also get resources. Now, all along, they've been saying that the resources won't be a one-to-one. So I won't be surprised if there's a bit of a bit of math that goes on with, as far as how many resources you have ported in from your Vox Odyssey work. But you will get credit for what you've done in Vox Odyssey in Project Cerberus. And then they announced like kind of an idea of V1. Like, so right off the bat, you're going to just be able to collect V1. They want to start Galachain integration where you can even swap resources. So obviously that would be leading towards the crafting side of things, where you'll need X number of this, and maybe you run out of one and you have a ton of the other. They want to use Gala Swap. So rather than having it be something that you're going to something like NFT Harbor and purchasing it, or maybe you could do that also, but that you would actually even be able to use Gala Swap itself to just swap them as tokens, which is interesting. That like we're not, it's no longer like a token that you're looking at like a coin per se. Yeah. It's just a tokenized item for the game. And that one of the big questions has been like, when are we going to see Vox at DeFi? Again, I was watching a lot of Dr. Wookiee's stuff because he's also really well informed. And that was one of the major questions that he wanted to hear an answer back out of this new phase for Vox. And if you think about it, that is kind of a step towards DeFi when you can take your in-game assets and swap them on, even if it's just a ledger, you know, or a I'm totally dropping the ball on the name for the terminology for what GalaSwap is. You know, it's an order book. Yeah. So even with it just being an order book, you're still looking at an opportunity for Vox to be harvesting something that is immediately swappable, you know, and
as utility.
And to see what kind of pairings could come out of that, there's no reason that they wouldn't be able to, like, okay, so you have wood and stone, and yeah, you make pairings there. There's no reason there wouldn't be able to be a stone to E-time pairing or a stone to Gala pairing. And that's entirely up to what they do with GalaSwap itself.
Well, and that opens
up, there's room for a third party to do it as well.
Well, that opens up so many potentials in terms of if they do go that route of having, like, say you could, yeah, there's a E-time to, you know, stone pool or something. And say for you, because of the types of assets you have, it's a lot easier for you to get E-time than it is to harvest stone. Well, then you still have an access to build up a game through a different game, you know,
and I think that's awesome.
That's a super cool idea that I hope.
And the cool thing about GalaSwap in this regard is that you don't need a pool. You're just, because it's just an order book, you're just waiting for somebody to put something out there that's a reasonable offer. And so obviously that's the pool is really the number of users that are finding GalaSwap like helpful. The number of users that enjoy the format of it. And so as the pool of users grows, you're going to see more offers out there. And those offers are going to start to find the rough market value of the things that say are on centralized exchanges already, something like the Gala token or Materium or Silk. Those are already out in the wild. We see what they're valued at. You can look at it on CoinGecko or CoinMarketCap. They have a dollar value for them there. But then within the Galachain ecosystem, there's a lot of things that haven't made their way out into the wild, and there's still a sense of what they should be worth, but that number will become a little bit clearer as more orders are put out there and there's a competition for getting their hands on those resources, whether they're like coins or just in-game item tokens. So anyway, it's early, you know, yeah. there's still a lot that we need to see happen, but it does have potential.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of the games still have potential, right? And I just think it's, you know, hoping things are acted upon the right way. And, you know, I think promises that people, whether it was a legitimate promise or whether that's just how people in the community internalized it, you know, seeing some action on some of these things that people have been waiting for. But
yeah,
last couple little notes I want to mention, you know, with GG Collective, you know, it's been a week officially since we launched the GG token, you know, already garnered almost $85,000 from 32 different investors. Like, that's nice. Awesome. Huge shout out to everyone that's supporting, you know, Jesse Hines and his Seedstarter platform. They've been working tirelessly with all the little bug fixes. And, yeah. you know, we're the first, GG Collective is the first fully live offering through Seedstarter. So there was a couple issues with credit cards not being able to be accepted and, you know, little things that were causing some issues. But, you know, they've worked super hard to get everything lined up. Everything's fully operational and functional. So for anyone looking for more information, you know, go to myseedstarter.com. If you just type in Seedstarter, you'll probably find it. Go to ggcollective.gg to find it. It's everywhere. And one last little tiny note I want to make. This is just totally a brag that a lot of people might not care about, but I think it's super cool. At one point yesterday, I was ranked 388 out of 22 million for my March Madness bracket. So I'm ranked like 12,000th now, but out of 22 million, I'm in the top.
And then Kentucky, is that what happened? And then
yeah, exactly. That's my point. Like, yeah, Kentucky, I had going to the Elite Eight. I had Oregon beating Creighton because I'm a diehard Oregon fan. That game was double overtime of a bunch of sadness. But I was like, okay, I'm in the top like 0.001% of my bracket. Best bracket I'll ever make. Sorry, not Gallic related, but I had to just boast about it somewhere. So,
Croissant.
Well, everybody, that's it. Have a great rest of your day. Yeah, we'll
thanks a bunch, everyone.
See you guys.